Our thanks to Bill Curry Ford. Bill Curry Ford presents all of Ira Kaufman's work at joebucksfan.com, and billcurryford.com is where you start shopping immediately for a new vehicle, a used vehicle, nationwide lifetime warranty on new and used vehicles. GM Sean Sullivan is ready for you right now. He's giving you $500 just to order a new vehicle. No deposit, great selection, BillCurryFord.com, and they've got certified pre-owned vehicles, 0.99% financing, as low as that, which is incredible. Get to BillCurryFord.com. Sean Sullivan, GM, he wants to help you personally. Ask for the Ira Kaufman discount at Bill Curry Ford. Hey, Ira, Bucks fans can watch Sunday's game with you. Have breakfast with the Sage at Big Storm Brewery in Clearwater, 49th Street, just south of Ulmerton Road. Beautiful tap room, great menu. Lunch menu kicks in at 11. Florida's best craft beer, Blood Brothers Bloody Mary Bar, Ira Mimosas, the Ira Kaufman Quesadilla is on the menu. It's all at Big Storm Brewery in Clearwater, and all the information is at joebucksfan.com. The Sage himself, if you get there before 10 a.m., the Sage himself, all you got to do is say hello. Hey, Ira, buy me a drink. Buy me the Ira Kaufman Quesadilla. And Ira's got you covered. How about that, Ira?
That's fantastic, Stevie. I wish I was a fan and I wasn't the Sage. Then you'd buy me a couple of drinks, Steve. So, you know, you're pulling out all the stops. John Sullivan's going to be there, GM of Bill Curry Ford. You're going to be there. I'm going to be there. I'll roll in about 9 o'clock. I expect my mimosa on the table by 9:05. Steve, I'm really looking forward to it. We'll watch this Munich game with a bunch of fans. No better way to spend a Sunday morning. So get your sleep and roll in to Big Storm. It's going to be a blast.
Again, all the info at joebucksfan.com. Ira is buying you one. I'm just going to clarify with the number. One Ira Kaufman quesadilla or one drink off the menu.
I gotcha.
Before 10 o'clock. So you can't come in at 12:30 and say, hey, Ira, great game. Buy me a beer. Doesn't work that way. Big Storm Brewery. Sage, how'd you fare through the storm? I got a little damage, actually, out of this hurricane. How'd you do?
I don't know. I've been really lucky. I mean, considering Ian and Nicole, you know, I got a pool cage, and I didn't lose any screens or damage to the cage, and that's always what I'm worried about. You know, the branches on the ground. Steve, we did a little cleanup today. Got a little walking stick that picks things up so I don't have to bend down every 2 seconds with the branches. You know, you do what you got to do. All in all, very fortunate. I'm sorry to hear that you had some damage.
Nothing crazy, just a very little bit to my roof, Ira, but I was armed. I was armed with the phone number of Florida's Elite Restoration. Florida's Elite Restoration. Now, I didn't have to call them, but I felt great knowing that I could call them for any storm damage, mold, water damage, whatever it might be. If I find out there was water damage that I haven't realized yet, I can call them. They are going to work with my insurance company, and they're going to give your listeners, Ira, if you mention Joe Bucks Fan or Ira Kaufman, $500 off if you need their services. That's after they come out to give you a free assessment of whatever's going on in your property. Florida's Elite Restoration. Check out their website, floridaselite-restoration.com. They're family owned, they're top shelf. Owner Josh Martin, 14 years as an insurance adjuster. So he knows how to make sure you get what you need out of your insurance company if that's what it takes. Floridaselite-restoration.com. Sage, we know who you are. You're the Baron of Big Storm Beer, the Mr. Bill Curry Ford, and you're also a guy who's working on a couple of really good stories. And I wish we could talk about that openly here, but good stuff is coming down the line from the Sage this month. It's going to be another banner month. But for now, Ira, there's an important story out there in the world of the Bucks. It's a little confusing, and I'm going to lay it out for everybody, and you'll give us your Sage take. Simply put, Monday, Tom Brady calls the Buccaneers' effort embarrassing, the most embarrassing part of what we've been doing this season. Okay, he says that on his podcast, which is edited, so Brady could have taken that back, but he didn't. And it did not appear, though, on the transcript released by the promotional company. So that was kind of interesting. They send out a bit of a transcript each week, like 70% of what he talks about, roughly. And that was not there. Then Tuesday, Todd Bowles is on his Buccaneers radio show. mentions effort without being asked about it and says it's really strong. Buck's effort is not their problem. Then Byron Leftwich is asked about it on Thursday, Ira, and he agrees with Brady. Yeah, effort. Effort's an issue. We shouldn't be talking about effort this time of year. We've addressed it. You know, sometimes it's effort. Today, Bowles is asked in Germany about that, and he says, no, it's not effort like loafing. It's effort within the execution and, you know, mistakes and things like that. So what the hell are we supposed to think, Ira?
Here's exactly what you're supposed to think, Steve. The word effort is very sensitive in NFL outposts. It's a four-letter word in terms of professional sports, especially as it refers to the head coach. Head coaches say, well, players play ultimately, and they decide what goes on. But effort also goes to coaching. And Todd Bowles knows that better than anybody. And Todd Bowles knows that the Glazers are well aware of what Brady said on his show. They're also aware of what Leftwich said. And he can't have the Glazers questioning the players' effort, because that is linked, rightfully or wrongfully, with the guy, you know, at the head of the power structure. And I'm not talking about Jason Light. Jason Light gets the players. The coaches take over at that point. So I understand why Todd Bowles has had to do a little cleanup. I'm a little surprised that Leftwich seemed to support Brady's point of view. He's on Bowles' coaching staff. And lack of effort from the offensive standpoint reflects back on Leftwich also. So, Steve, I got to go with what Brady said, you know, and nobody told him to say, and nobody even brought it up till Brady did. And if Brady feels like it, and he's the guy in the huddle, and he's the guy in the meeting rooms, and he's the guy watching film, and he's the guy on the field, it was very damning, Steve, when he said it. It kind of came out of nowhere, in my opinion, and Bowles had to snuff it out. I'm not sure he did it, Steve. We'll know more on Sunday afternoon.
A very unique situation. Lee DeCamper is going to be with us, Ira. He is in Germany. As fans who follow us on Twitter have been seeing all kinds of entries and videos and pictures from Lee, he's been soaking it in. What do you think of beer at practice for the media? How about that?
Well, it gives me something to talk about to the Bucks public relations staff next week. We'll see if they're open to suggestions. Steve, I'll tell you where you don't question somebody's effort, and that's Lee DeCamper bouncing around from beer garden to beer garden in Munich. There's no lack of effort there, Stevie. He's sampling everything he can find. He's walking the streets. He's got the moon coming up over Munich. Who knows what the hell time he sent that picture. I'm not sure DeCamper's getting any sleep, but I'm sure glad as hell he's out there, Steve, representing Joe Buck's fan.
Hey, Ira, before we get over to Lee, I got to ask you, because Lee's been so busy, I'm sure he probably didn't read your column. You basically called out Leonard Fournette. The Sage says, quote, "The bench is beckoning." And in that column, Ira, which of course is at joebucksfan.com, you made it clear that they're frustrated with Fournette's effort at one buck. What's going on here?
My sources that are different from your sources suggest to me that there are people in the organization, more than one, who believe it is time, perhaps past time, to put the ball in the stomach of a couple of other guys that are not named Leonard Fournette. Where is Keyshawn Vaughn? He's got some people pulling for him on this team, wondering why he doesn't have a chance. White, who's not doing any better than Fournette in terms of yards per carry, has a small sample size. Let's see what he can do with 12 carries in a game. And Steve, I read the comments under my Fournette column, and some people are saying, what are you talking about, Sage? It's all about the offensive line. There's no holes at all. Well, Steve, up to a point, they have a point. Up to a point. But Steve, when you're Leonard Fournette, you're considered an elite back. You're a top 10 back in this league. That's what we were all saying, and that's what it looked like. Steve, when you're a top 10 back in the league, sometimes you got to make your own hole. Sometimes you got to juke a couple of people. You're not going to have a cavernous hole every time. And I don't see Fournette running over anybody. I don't see him juking anybody. And, Steve, that play in the fourth quarter Rams game on a swing pass to the left when he got the ball in space and made a guy miss, that's the Leonard Fournette we're used to. But sometimes you got to do that to get to the second level, too, as a running back. And, Steve, he's just not getting the job done. And his numbers, 3.3. Steve, that's bad enough. Since week one, it's like 2.5. I mean, this is memories of Ronald Jones as a rookie that nobody wants to think about.
I mean, we know it's bad. We know it's historically bad. I just wanted to get your thought, Ira, because you had some harsh words there. And I know you're hearing what you're hearing. And do you think it's fair to say that if Fournette, which I believe the sideline report from last week that we already talked about in the last game, if Fournette was pouting a little bit on the sideline and his production is down, do you think that's a function or reflection of Todd Bowles at all, that he's not keeping one of his stars motivated, a guy who, of course, should be motivating himself, but who has needed a kick in the ass in the past?
You're right. He's needed a kick in the ass. It really got bad at a certain point in 2020, maybe halfway through the season, two-thirds of the way, before the Bucs ran off the season-ending eight-game winning streak. Fournette was in left field. His mind was on anywhere but football. Arians had a heart-to-heart and asked him if he wanted to be kicked off the team right now, I'll be glad to do it, Arians told him. And he straightened out. Steve, I think it's time, if they haven't had one, I think Bowles and Fournette have to have a very frank discussion and talk about Bowles' expectations for Fournette. Obviously, he's not meeting them, Steve. You know, the crazy part, he played great in week one. He was tremendous. He might have been the best Buck player, certainly the best Buck offensive player in that 19-3 win. And he really gave the Bucks ball control, and the play action was effective. And then, you know, nothing. Steve, the last three games, and I'll leave it on this one. Steve, he hasn't cracked 25 yards rushing in any of the last three games. 25 yards. And he doesn't have a 20-yard run. Nobody else in the league with that many carries is still looking for a 20-yard run. So, you know, how bad is the blocking? I mean, how terrible is Donovan Smith this year? How bad is Hainsey? How awful is Leverett? Well, I think their pass protection is better than I expected. Their run blocking, work in progress, not particularly good. But, Steve, I'm not putting it all on Nick Leverett. I'm just not.
All right, Sage, we got Lee on the line from Munich. No beer in hand, but maybe later. Nope. Lee, we were talking about the back and forth with the effort and Leftwich and Brady and Bowles' comments today. Where do you land with all this effort talk? Who's telling the truth? What do we need to know? Where's the fine line?
Well, I think it's simple journalism 101 that Ira can back me up on this. Brady talked about it, and you know, Brady's a team-first guy. Brady, you know, right before that, was talking about people dogging it and how he's embarrassed. So if that didn't happen, why would Brady say that? And then Leftwich, of all people, who never says anything, I almost fell out of my chair when Leftwich was like, yeah, but it didn't happen every play. Okay, so it's happening. And I guess Bowles is smart enough to, you know, put out the public message that, no, there's no loafing. And then finally he got cornered. Hey, Brady was talking about it, and I guess Bowles had to, you know, he was cornered. What could he say? No, my quarterback's lying? He's not going to say that. So it's obviously going on. It's obviously a problem. If it's spoken about by multiple people in public, on a very public forum, that's a problem. You know, who knows if Brady's back or not next year, but you know the effort is coming from Brady. We know that. During the offseason, surely Jason Light knows who's loafing, who's not. Who's ever loafing needs to get sent their walking papers. I don't care who it is. You're loafing, get out of there, because that's an infectious practice, and that will bring down a locker room. And that could be why the freaking Bucks are losing now, because guys are tanking it. Guys are loafing. Guys are just mailing it in. We know Brady's not that kind of guy. We know Levante David's not that kind of guy. I don't think Antoine Winfield's that kind of guy. I certainly don't think Mike Evans is that kind of guy. Whoever's loafing needs to get launched this offseason.
Steve, when you list all the issues that are concerning with a losing football team, and that's what the Bucks are at the moment, top of the list in terms of concerns. You could say they don't have enough talent. You could say poor coaching. But when it comes to lack of effort, and Steve, I'll say it again, it is a reflection, at least in the fans' minds, of the coaching staff, right or wrong. That's the way the fans are going to interpret it. So they need to turn this perception around. And Lee, when Tom Brady comes out and says it, you know, it seems like it's more than just a perception.
I absolutely agree. If Tom Brady comes out and says it on a national forum, it's got to be a problem. A
couple of things. I don't know if you remember, and frankly, I don't remember if he said it to us off the microphones or on the microphones for your podcast back in June when we had our long sit down with Todd Bowles. I don't remember, but Bowles talked about the plan for Germany because you asked him about it. I don't think it was on the podcast, but it doesn't really matter at this point. He told us that the goal was don't spend a lot of time there, get in, get out. He had been there in the preseason years ago and try to keep everything normal as possible. And he just wants to zip in there, spend as little time as possible, try to keep guys on schedule and get it done. Now, nothing seems to have changed from that plan. Now, Pete Carroll, on the other hand, they got there a day early. I read a really neat feature in the Seattle Times about how Pete Carroll has got the guys treating it like a college bowl game trip, had them all pumped up and dancing at practice yesterday and going high energy. And you can't even talk or think about that. It's a drag on the big flight. And he loves the energy level and he's sort of treating it like the Super Bowl. And apparently that worked for him the last time Seattle went overseas. So we got clashing philosophies, Ira. Of course, nobody knows who's right until the game starts, but what's your thought?
Well, Steve, that last point is the big one. We won't know which approach works best until Sunday afternoon, Lee, when I'm on my fourth mimosa over at Big Storm. By then, we'll know. Lee, different approaches, different philosophies. You know, Belichick had his own way of doing things. Maybe Gruden had a different way. Maybe Dungy had a different way. Lee, I just say you got to be ready when the freaking game starts. That's what matters. Whether this in-and-out approach that the Bucs are taking, I don't really have a problem with it. Business trip, try to keep everything as normal as possible. Pete Carroll says, no, we want to get acclimated to the conditions, the weather, the time change. I think it's all moot until Sunday. And I don't know if there's any one approach that has proven to be foolproof or close to it. Because if there was, Lee, with all the analytics that go on in professional sports, then everybody would adopt that approach. Exactly. So, Lee, I don't have a problem with the Bucks coming in relatively late in the week and getting the heck out of there, as long as they show up with effort and, may I say, execution on Sunday.
Oh, yeah. And Bulls has done a decent job of keeping it relatively consistent. You know, his practices are late morning practices, usually get over with around 1-ish. Over here, he practiced, at least today being Friday, he practiced at 3:30 local time. We're 6 hours ahead, so that would be 9. And that's when kickoff is, by the way. That would be 9:30 Tampa time. Late afternoon, 9:30, that's in the same ballpark. I just wonder what kind of head games it plays with. They landed at dawn. Like, I don't know if you've seen the pictures of those guys landing at Munich, but the sun was just coming up. And I don't know if they went straight to bed or what they did, but when they showed up at the Bayern facility, it was about 3:15 in the afternoon. So they got in, got 6 hours in, maybe got in at dawn. I just wonder what that plays with your head. It's like you're being out all night. You get in at dawn, and like, oh, crap, I have to be at work in a couple hours.
Lee, some of your best stories came after you were out till 4:15 in the morning. I can vouch for that. Hey, Lee, are you at the team hotel? What's the hotel situation, Lee?
Media hotel.
Ira, later, Lee's having a hot tub with Rich Eisen.
Well, those guys, Jenna told me the NFL Network people, they're sitting at the Four Seasons, where we got the Marriott Courtyard.
Oh, boy.
And a short walk to all kinds of restaurants and beer halls, so it's okay.
How many pretzels has Peter King downed in your presence, Lee?
I haven't seen him, but that was a picture that Colleen Wolf had. He was wolfing down a Bavarian pretzel. I've only had one so far of my stay here. And then this is my fourth day. I've had maybe 10, maybe 11 beers total. You go to lunch, you have a couple beers. You go to dinner, you have a beer.
Hey, Sage, I know, of course, we're going to be having our fun at Big Storm Brewery on Sunday morning, 9 o'clock, opening up with the breakfast menu, kick off with the Sage. But I don't think there's been much buzz around town for the game in Germany. I think most fans just think it's just another game, especially with the storm blowing through and the election. It's sort of like an afterthought kind of game, especially against an opponent like the Seahawks. What do you think?
I absolutely agree. You know, look, I'm not going to pick on FLA, Channel 8. But Lee, if you call yourself the Buck Station, which they do every day during training camp and every day during the preseason, you know, if you're going to anoint yourself that, Lee, you got to live up to it, in my opinion. I don't know what their profit margins are. I think they're owned by a company called Nexstar. But Lee, had they gone out to Munich like you did early in the week, they could have ran some very entertaining features. You know, with Bob Hansen is excellent on the video, and and talked about the scene in Munich. They didn't have to wait till the Bucks arrived, and just talk about how big a deal these games are in Europe. And I think they are a big deal, and I think the ticket demand is legitimate. I think it's very strong. I don't think that's a fabrication of the National Football League. They make up a lot of stuff over there on Park Avenue, but I don't think this is one of them. I think some of the stations dropped the ball because I think they could have had a week full of and they didn't have to, you know, run it on the sports part. They could have ran it on the news part, too, with the pictures and the interviews. Lee, I thought it would have been very entertaining.
It probably would have been, but I do have to be fair. If they had the money, they would have sent people over here. That's number one. But number two, whatever their budget is, obviously it's not overflowing. Otherwise, again, they'd have people over here. I'm sure they busted their budget with the hurricane coverage. And, you know, let's be honest, what's more important? People's safety, you know, learning about power outages and, you know, how strong the storm is and where it's headed, or a football game. There's no way I could blame the TV people. I like a lot of people that work in the TV, and I know they wanted to come out here. And like I said, if they had a budget, they would have been here. As far as the news organization, if you got to choose a football game or hurricane coverage, that's not even a question.
Hey, Lee, as far as practice, Lee, what are you seeing? Yep. Did they let you watch the whole thing? Was it 30 minutes only, like in Tampa? And what did the team look alive to you out there?
The team looked alive, looked like they were having fun, looked like they were into it. You know, it was a different environment. Beautiful facility. They have bleachers all the way around the stadium. If you think of a U, it's like a giant U. The seats, padded seats, plastic padded seats that go around the practice field, almost looks like the Bucks facility. If you put up the bleachers that circled the field, it would look sort of like the Bucks facility. So it's a nice facility. Players looked into it. I saw something, and I know the injury report literally just came out 20 minutes ago. I didn't see it yet. However, I saw Vita Vea walk off the field by himself. That's sort of a good sign if he's not with a trainer. Walked off the field and went into the facility. Who knows why? Maybe he needs to get new shoes. I don't know. But whenever a player walks off the field, that's always, as you know, Steve, that's always why is he getting off the field? Is he sick? Is he hurt? What's going on? And I don't know if Vita Vea is on the injury report or not, but that did catch my attention that he walked off the field by himself, though.
Steve, one very positive development.
Mike Evans was practicing. He looked pretty good. He looked pretty spry.
Steve, it looks like undoubtedly we're going to see Antoine Winfield on Sunday. This defense has been playing pretty darn well, exceptionally well last week without Winfield. And given Seattle's, you know, robust ground game, Winfield might be the best tackler on this team. And he's really very strong in run support from the secondary standpoint. I think that could be a big boost for Tampa Bay.
Oh, big time. And Lee, I don't want to scare anybody. We do have it up at joebucksfan.com. The injury report came out a couple hours ago. They put it out quick. Everybody looks good. No Vita Vea. Julio Jones, full participation, ready to go. Not even questionable, Ira. So that's at least good news. And Winfield coming back is huge. He's their best tackler. He's probably their best guy when it comes to turnovers, and it's been five games in a row without a turnover. They desperately need him. I mean, they just need big plays in this game. But anything else, Lee, that you feel we need to know as fans, not us as, hey, what are you doing out there? Who are you hanging with? As fans, that the fans need to know about what's happening with the Bucks in Germany.
Well, if they were suffering jet lag of any sort, it didn't appear that way at practice. Now, granted, it was just special teams and just guys warming up, but I didn't see anybody of note dragging tail or coming off the field like, you know, panting or anything like that. They all seemed into it. Maybe it was because of the new environment, who knows, but they all seemed into it. Brady seems excited. He seems geeked about it.
Steve, let me ask you two guys this, and I think I mentioned it the other day. Doesn't Brady look a little more relaxed, guys, since the divorce became finalized and was no longer just an object of speculation? He seems a little more at ease, doesn't he, Lee?
Well, I'll tell you what Tom Pelissero said of NFL Network. He's subbing for Rich Eisen. He's calling the game, so he's here in Munich. Pelissero was subbing for Eisen on his show. And Pelissero said the way Brady reacted after that win at the podium, it looked like the weight of the world came off his shoulders.
Well, between that and the finalization of his divorce, Steve, he looks more at peace with himself.
Yeah. By the way, how bitter can he be at the divorce? His wife's moving in, you know, walking distance from his house in Miami.
Yes.
Hey, Ira.
That's not much of a divorce. That's like getting a separate room.
hey, Ira, not to be crude here, but feeling upbeat. Can you imagine, speaking of, you know, with Brady being more upbeat, can you imagine the amount of single, beautiful women that have reached out to him since the divorce? Can you just imagine? Oh. Maybe that's putting a smile on his face on some level. Knowing that what he's going to be doing at the end of the season.
No question. He's lean. He's mean. And we'll see if he's ready for Sunday. I can't wait for our picks, Steve, because I think the picks are going to be interesting.
Well, Bill Curry Ford, that's my pick. BillCurryFord.com. Shop there immediately. They've got that great certified used vehicle program. Not only do you get the nationwide lifetime warranty, but as low as 0.99% financing, which is incredible these days. Shop the inventory at BillCurryFord.com. Ira, the NFC South, Atlanta, 4-6. The Bucs, 4-5. They have the tiebreaker edge on Atlanta. If the Saints win in Pittsburgh, they go to 4-6. Now, if the Bucs win, obviously they've got a game lead and a tiebreaker on both teams because they beat them. If it's a three-way tie, they still have a bit of an edge, but it starts looking really ugly. And who knows what the hell Carolina really is. How important is this game, Ira? And I'll also have to throw it out there to you. Maybe it's not important. How important is this game? But also the wild card. If the season, I know you guys ignore the wild card, but if the season ended today, the Niners have the wild card with a 4-4 record. The Bucs are not out of the wild card. I don't know where you think this wild card's coming from, but this is a big game for that wild card, especially if you look at a potential edge with Seattle in a tiebreaker. If Seattle crumbles a little bit.
Well, let me start like this. If the Bucs have to get into the postseason, Lee, with a wild card berth in this division, that is shameful. That is a travesty, an absolute travesty. Lee, I watched the Falcons the other day. They were pitiful, absolutely terrible. The pass protection, terrible. Mariota under siege. They might have to replace Mariota. He was awful. They couldn't run the ball. I watched Lee. I watched the Saints on Monday. They were pitiful. Their offense was terrible. Dalton stunk. The first half was absolutely disastrous. I don't know if you saw my column, Lee. Jameis Winston can't beat out Andy Dalton at this point. What does that tell you about Winston? And Carolina, in the words of Lee DeKemper, who's not wrong, the damn owner doesn't want to win. He don't want him to win. He can't say it, but that's what he's thinking. Steve, by all accounts, this division is absolutely a joke. I think you can win it at 8-9. Let's hope the Bucs do better than that. I'd be shocked if the Bucs didn't win this division, Lee.
Within the last 2 days, I wrote that, you know, like Parcells said, you are what your record says you are. And right now, the Bucs are losers. And that's not a division winner, the way they're playing and the way the record is. Yeah, they may be playing in a lousy division, but they're not playing like a division winner. They don't look like a division winner. although I know you guys are right, they should win the division. I can't say it's a lock by any stretch because they're a losing team right now. Their main problems are on offense. Leftwich has shown zero evidence that he's capable of fixing it, because otherwise you wouldn't wait to the 10th week. You'd fix it. He vowed the other day, we'll get it fixed. Well, why do I believe you? If you can't fix it in the first 9 weeks, why am I going to believe you? Oh, Mr. Magic is going to correct itself week 11 after the bye, if you still have a job, I should say. I'm not even looking at wild card. I can't imagine there's other teams out there playing as bad as the Bucks are playing and that they're going to get in as a wild card. I just can't believe it. I think San Francisco's a better team. I really do. Right now, I'm talking about November 11th. If I had to put money when the Bucks won in San Francisco, I think San Francisco kicks their ass up and down the field. I really do.
I also think the Niners are better. Steve, if the division winner is 8-9 in the NFC South and it's not the Bucks, that's a disaster.
It's been a crazy season. Atlanta smacked around the 49ers, ran them all over the field and beat the crap out of them. So it's been a wild, wacky year. I agree with you, Ira, but until the records say otherwise, we still got to see it play out. I mean, you could have something crazy like Atlanta winning the division at 8-9 and the Bucks finishing 8-9 and getting in the wild card. It's just been that crazy of a year. All right, Sage, you mentioned the picks. I look at the Bucks and I look at the last two Seahawks games, and I feel like the Bucks had the potential of getting their doors blown off in this game. The Seahawks are balanced. They don't have a ton of weaknesses, and they're just playing with a fire that the Bucks used to have that they don't seem to have now. Now, I don't think that's going to happen. I think the defense will play well, but I got to pick the Seahawks just based on what I'm seeing on the field. I think we're probably looking at 24-17 Seattle.
Lee, you can go second.
I'm like Steve. I think Seattle wins. I think the Bucs defense is going to hold them to 3 touchdowns, 21. But the Bucs offense, until they prove otherwise, is going to be the Bucs offense. They will have 17. 21-17 Seattle.
Boy, I can hear the skeptics, Steve, because I'm also picking Seattle. Pete Carroll's doing a whale of a job. They're in first place in a better division than the Bucks are. I think they got to play the Niners once, maybe even twice, so I'm not guaranteeing them a division championship. But they're a balanced team. They're a physical team. That's what Pete Carroll always stresses, power runner.
I was going to say, he always has a physical team, yeah.
And I got one in this Kenneth Walker, two good receivers. Geno Smith, to me, Lee, one of the great stories of the 22 season, Geno Smith. He might win Comeback Player of the Year, but I'm not going to vote for him, Lee. You know why? Comeback from what? He had never established himself.
Who's your Comeback Player of the Year? Saquon Barkley?
Yeah, I think he's a very good choice. I think Barkley's a very good choice, powering up a very surprising Giants team. Guys, I got to go with Seattle. I can't believe we're all three picking it. Steve, the only thing the Bucks proved to me last week was that the Rams are lousy. That's all they proved to me.
No, I know. I know we hit that last podcast, and you know, not much to learn from that game. But, I mean, there's a little hope to be garnered from it, but it's just messy as hell, Ira. And you look at the Seahawks, it's not just the Seahawks. I mean, they've proven it. They've won 4 in a row. Their defense has tightened up. Geno Smith, he could be an MVP candidate, Ira. It could be going in that direction with his 73% completion rate, you know, 4-1 TD to interception ratio and what he's meant to the team. It's just crazy. And you know, Pete Carroll is a better coach than Todd Bowles, which I think is a factor in these types of games. So we hope we're wrong. We hope we're wrong. But all I know is no matter what happens, the Bucs are in freaking first place come Monday. Tom Brady said today, Ira, that they will be doing a deep exploration of the team, a deep dive, deep study to see what could be fixed. But he said, I'd a hell of a lot like to do that more at 5-5 than 4-6.
You're right. And Lee made a great point a minute ago, Steve, in that in the Rams game, which was a great comeback win because the Rams, as the defending champs, are supposed to win games like that, and the Bucks took it away from them. But Lee's point is very true. The Bucks showed no improvement in their main issue. Even with the win over the Rams, the offense, was bad. For 59 minutes, it was worse than bad. So, Lee, you're right. Except for that final drive, which, you know, I'm putting 30% of it on terrible defense by the Rams. Give the Bucs credit. They made some plays. But I don't know what the heck the Rams were doing on defense, because the clock's not going to run out on Tom Brady, Lee. It was not. And that's the way they looked, like they were counting on that. And that's not going to happen. So their offensive doldrums continue. And, Steve, like you said, until we see that problem addressed, we can't feel overly good about this franchise.
I hear you, Ira. For me, it's not even that. I just think the Seahawks are better. I hate saying that, but I just think they're better right now. You know, Lee's on the money with the general point, which is they did everything they could to fix the offense for last week's game, and they couldn't fix it. So here we go, another week. You know, hopefully Mike Evans is back to full health. I'm glad Lee said that he was looking good in practice, looking spry with that knee injury and, excuse me, ankle and rib injuries that he was been nursing, limited in practice all week. All right, Sage, we said our big hello, so I will let Lee have the floor for the final 2 minutes. Anything he wants to tell us, and then we're out of here.
I'll give you a negative and a positive. We'll start off with the negative. It's not a real negative, but as Ira would say, it's stuck in my craw. Not craw, craw. There's this girl from Germany who has a video series. She lives in Cincinnati, and her video series on YouTube is the differences in cultures, and it's kind of interesting. Well, anyway, she talks about in America, customer service is significantly better than in Germany, and she happens to be from Munich, by the way. So interesting source. I haven't experienced bad customer service. With one point, you got to budget 45 minutes of your time just to get a freaking bill from a waiter. You got to ask them multiple times. You sit and you wait, and look, what the hell? I came there, walked out of a restaurant the other night. The only thing that stopped me was, geez, I just want to get locked up in a German jail. I mean, it's like, if you don't want to give me a bill, that tells me you don't want to get paid. And it's a pain in the neck. You know, I got to get back to the hotel room. I got stories to write. I got to make appointments. I got to catch the bus to go to practice, whatever. You cannot go anywhere if you go to a restaurant, because you don't know when the hell you're getting out. I'm not joking. 30 minutes is not uncommon to get a bill. You're done with your meal. You're done with your beer. You're ready to go. You ask for a bill. It might be 30, 40 minutes before you get a bill. And that drives me nuts. But the bad customer service overall, I have not experienced that whatsoever. But if you call not getting a bill customer service, well, this girl from Munich is right on the money. The positive, and it's a big positive, but it makes me feel terrible. There's no language barrier here, guys. Everybody's bilingual. The worst examples of I heard of guys not speaking English were both at restaurants, and we were able to stumble our way through and order correctly, and I got my beer, I got my food, everything's cool. That's really floored me how bilingual at least Munich is. I mean, the hotel staff, absolutely fluent in English. The guy who gave me a ride, the German version of Uber, absolutely fluent in English. The radio stations, they play Deep Purple and Rolling Stones, all in English. And I'm really, really, that's really surprised me. I thought there was going to be a language barrier. There's no language barrier. And I got to say, though, I almost feel embarrassed as an American. I'm one of these ugly Americans, proud American. Everything's better in America. You know, F you guys. I'm embarrassed as an American that we are so lacking on being bilingual, or at least having a working knowledge of a second language. The Germans are putting us to shame, man. It's both cool, and I both feel bad about it as well.
Stevie, I want to get the last word in. Picture this in your mind, Steve. Monday morning, DeKemper checking out of his hotel in Munich, got a plane to catch. He goes to the front desk, Steve. He says to the clerk, "Hey, I'm in room 604. I'm checking out. Steve, my over-under is 90 seconds for DeKemper. If he is not presented with a bill in 90 seconds, boom, he's at the door and in a cab for the Munich airport. Steve, 90 seconds.
All right, Ira. We'll see you Sunday. Calm down.